Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. According to a UPI news item, the Metropolitan Insurance Company received some unusual justifications, shall we call them excuses, for accidents from its automobile policyholders. The following are just a few. One person said, "The other car collided with mine without warning me of its intention." Another holder said, "Well, I'd been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had the accident." Another said, "I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment." Another said, "The pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him." Another said, "Well, the telephone pole was approaching fast. I attempted to swerve out of its path when it struck my front end." And then one said, "The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I could hit him." Well, we are masters of excuses, aren't we? It's a human gift in a way, or maybe not such a good gift. Seems it starts at the beginning, though, when we read the Holy Scriptures. Adam, our first parent, as we say in theology, justifies his sin to God with the words, "It's the woman you gave me. She gave me the fruit, so I ate it." Of course, the Lord didn't accept that. We read later on in the New Testament that through one man, sin entered the world, so God held Adam responsible, lest we think the Bible is chauvinist. It's not. It holds the man accountable, the male. But it wasn't just a male thing making those excuses. When the Lord asked Eve why she did what she did, her answer was, "The serpent beguiled me." Well, making excuses for not obeying God is one of the first effects of sin. Throughout history, indeed in our own lives, there are always plenty of reasons, aren't there, for not obeying God. So we should not be surprised that our gospel lesson addresses the excuses people make for not following through on their obedience to love God and their neighbor. The gospel has to do with the main principle that there are no excuses for not loving God. Perhaps you remember the story. A man has planned a large dinner party. Apparently the guest sent RSVPs. When it was time to call the invitees to dinner, the host sent his servant. Only one by one, the guests started making excuses. What's striking about the excuses in our gospel story is that the excuses really aren't evil in and of themselves. They are legitimate reasons. A new farm was acquired, new cattle were purchased, even a new marriage had taken place. As a result, the host of the dinner sends his servant to find another guest who will follow up on their invitations. The host even asks the servant to go farther out onto the highways and the byways. He uses the words, "compel them to come in." Quite a controversial statement later on in church history. The church at times has interpreted that word "compel" more strongly than at other times, but I think it means morally persuade, compel them, try to talk them into, persuade them to go ahead and come. When the Lord invites, that's a good thing. Obey God, love Him. So there's nothing inherently wrong with reasons for which the original guest didn't come. Nor is this a story saying that we can never ever back out of a party That's not what it's about. The story is about God and his dinner, worship, Holy Communion. And even more critical to the story, the point seems to be that once a person has RSVP'd to God, he or she needs to follow through, not back out. There's always a reason. There's always a justification for acquiescing on our commitment. Believe me, and we can find them. And we're good at finding good excuses. We typically don't use evil excuses for not obeying God. We look for the best excuse we can find. But there's no excuse for not obeying God. The ages are full of saints who had it much worse than we do. And they obeyed God. And we are at a critical point in history where the faithful need to obey God. Lord knows we need the faithful, and we need the faithful to be faithful. There's not an excuse either for not loving your neighbor. The epistle lesson for today begins, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." The lesson ends with the words, if a person says, "I love God," and hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? A very significant parallel. I came across an interesting article the other day. It is entitled, 10 Reasons Christians Give for Treating Others Badly, by Jeremy Myers. In other words, these are the justifications many Christians use for misbehaving toward others. Here are some of the excuses for misbehavior toward others. 1, well, I'm a sinner too. True, but it's no excuse for sin. 2, nothing personal, it's just business. Sometimes we use our professional world as a way of justifying not living as a Christian. 3, judge not lest you be judged. Somehow wrong is okay if it can't be judged by others. 4, well, it isn't illegal. If I'm obeying the law, a person deceives himself into thinking he or she can get away with immorality. 5, well, the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'm just treating them the way they treated me. Well, the problem with that is we have a New Testament. That comes from the Old Testament. And someone treated me that, if someone treated me that way, then we're supposed to respond with the love of God. 6, well, I have righteous anger. Problem is that sin is usually wrapped up in anger. So it's hard for anyone except for Jesus Christ to have what was called righteous indignation. He was without sin. He could be angry and not sin. It's very hard for us to be angry and not sin. 7, well, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, I don't think that's a boundary that God honors. 8, hey, I'm not in church. Well, I think the Lord called us to live for him 24/7, not just 1 hour on Sunday. So, we're pretty good at making excuses. Excuses about the most important thing to which the Lord has called us: loving him and loving our neighbor. We're reminded by the lessons today that instead, we are to find reasons to obey, not excuses for not obeying. Our life is to be devoted to be an icon as a reason for obeying God. I remember a quote one of my teachers had on her desk. It said, "Nobody is impressed with how good your excuses are." And I would add, not even God. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive."